Hours to preach, right? After all that, people are like, what? Where's the door? I got a prerequisite. This is a joke, okay? When I say this joke, I don't want people to go, is that really Bible? Okay? So this pastor said, I have a new revelation. And he was talking with these other pastors one day, and he says, I have just discovered that the Apostle Paul's father died on the cross next to Jesus. And one of the pastors says, what are you talking about? He says, well, the scripture says, my old man died with Christ. All right, did you get that one? All right, never mind. I'll stay away. Gary didn't tell a joke today, so I guess I'm the one that has to tell the joke, all right? So anyway, I'm kidding. So anyway, we're not going to go super late tonight, but you know, the interesting thing is it's very powerful. It's very important to be led by the Spirit. And that's where I think that we get in trouble is we're not led by the Spirit of God, and we're trying to do things in the flesh, meaning, you know, we're trying to pray for things, we're trying to do things, and we're crossing stuff out, but it's very important to be led by the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, 12, we'll start there. And kind of a little bit of review from last week, but maybe we'll get into some new stuff here. But we're talking about spiritual warfare. And again, we're not putting on camouflage, we're not using guns, we're not. That's not spiritual warfare. We're going to use the Word, right? We need to be led by the Spirit of God. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there, they've done a lot of fleshly things, but it says here, Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers, the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in its high places. Now, we're not going to go there tonight, but if you read Ephesians, Wednesday night prayer, we were talking about the Ephesians prayers, weren't we? Chapter 1 and chapter 3. Those are, what are they, you know, what are those for? To our eyes to be enlightened. You know, you can read something, I've said this before, I've read Genesis several times. Every time I read Genesis, something new pops up. And that's revelation. We need revelation and the knowledge of Him. It's not just understanding the, you know, I mean, it comes down to this, we can read about things like Noah's Ark. We can read things about, you know, Mr. Gary just read, you know, kind of went over elementary level, you know, what Christ went to the cross. We can understand those accounts, but to have revelation of that is another story, right? And to understand, you know, there's so many people out there arguing about, well, even things like in Christianity, we're talking about, you know, why did Jesus turn the water into wine? Well, it's okay to drink wine. It's okay to do this. If you understand the revelation of that, it's His first miracle, but it's a typology of the new wine, right? Mm-hmm. He's the new wine, the blood that was shed for us, you know, it's a typology of things. When you understand that, we need revelation from the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter. Ephesians. If we're in Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I'm just going to go over a few things tonight, and we're not going to go real long tonight. But Ephesians, fourth chapter, verse 19. Actually, let's start in verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Here we go. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Mm-hmm. Now there's another place there. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul tells the Romans to do two things. One is to renew your mind. Two is to put your flesh under, your body under control, right? But he doesn't mention the spirit. Why doesn't he mention the spirit? Because we're born again. God, Jesus took care of our spirit man when we're born again, right? I can't get myself born again. I can't heal myself. I can't do any of those things. That comes from Him. Right here, and it goes on, and it says, and you put on the new man, which is after God has created in the righteousness, true holiness. Verse 25, wherefore put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Here's the next couple of verses I want to get to. It says, but be angry and sin not, and let not the sin go down in your wrath. Here we go. Neither give place to the devil. Now, and then in verse 28, let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he might have give to him that is needed. Now, I want to stop right there, verse 27. The Apostle Paul is telling us, don't give place to the devil. How do we give place to the devil? Well, we can't open up doors, right? Right? I had some relatives that, I mean, they drank like a fish and smoked like a chimney, right? Well, they opened themselves up. What happened? I did one of their funerals, right? So they died. So the point is, you know, we can open ourselves up to the enemy. We can also close that door. But it's recognizing what that door is. Now, I always like to think of this, and this is something that I have, because guess what? I'm not the smartest guy in the world. And I believe God has a better ability to get a hold of me when he needs me to, or I need something, than me to try to chase him down, right? Because there are just things that I need to know. Guess how can I say this? You don't know what you don't know. Right? I mean, there's just things in this life. You get into the car, you drive down somewhere, you don't know what you don't know. God knows, okay, there's a car out here that's driving here. It's gonna pull out in front of you. And this, I mean, I've had that before. I said that before. Adrian and I have prayed, and the Lord told us to slow down. I was just slow down, and what happens? This car ran. It was a drunk driver, ran in front of us, would have hit us and killed us. Then you got all the religious folks out there saying, well, God just took him home because he needed him. Well, maybe sometimes we're just not led by the Spirit, right? Maybe we're just doing dumb things, right? I like to eliminate some of those things in life. Just, okay, I don't want to do dumb things that can open up a door. But again, it is important to be led by the Spirit. But one of the things that in our spiritual walk is we just don't want to make sure we don't give a place to the devil, right? And the Apostle Paul is talking about things like being in strife, doing things. But another, he says two things in the scripture is, number one, renewing your mind, and also don't give place to the devil. We got to get rid of stinking thinking. If we're thinking wrong, we're going to do wrong. Yeah. Right? And how many people that have, you know, well, let's just say, for example, how many people have died and they don't know it's God's will to heal? So your thinking is going to limit you from receiving God. Why? Because you've heard somebody say something, you've been in a church, they've said religious things that sound good, right? I was just listening to a pastor this week, and he was talking about weddings, and he said, you know, it's how funny we get our theology from Hollywood. He says, how many, and I'm going to pick on Hallmark, okay? You'll forgive me, all right? Okay? There's like this Hallmark thing in our house, and it's like, dear Lord, deliver me from Hallmark movies. It's like, Jesus, come now. Anyway, so, the Hallmark movie, you know, they watch the Hallmark movie, and what's the thing they always say in the weddings? If anybody has anything against these two people, couple being married, speak now, forever hold your peace. Guess what? I've never said that in the weddings I've ever done, and I've never heard anybody do that in a wedding, right? But we watch a movie that seems like the right thing to say, but I was watching that, I was thinking, you know, I've never said that in the wedding I've ever done. And this guy was talking about it, I'm like, he's right, because that always just bothered me. But the point is, see, we see things, or things like, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. Okay, well, there are Levitical laws about washing your hands with running water, but that's not really, you know, it's just out there, right? I mean, it's just somebody said something. And, you know, we're not using often the word, but the point is, what does the Bible talk about in the Old Testament? My people perish for a lack of
knowledge,
right? And not just knowledge, but just doing something with it. Yeah. What's doing something? That's wisdom. Yeah. Proverbs talks about praying for wisdom, right? You can have a bunch of information. What are we seeing? The word, it says in that day, the end time, that knowledge will increase in ever. Guess what? We can get on the internet and there's all kinds of info, right? There are just a lot of dumb people that have their, you know, how can I say, fingers on stuff. You know, you can get information, but you have no idea what to use it for, right? I laugh at all this stuff, like all these people, I study music and played in bands and different things like that. It's different than people on YouTube sitting in their bedroom doing something than in front of people. You know what I'm saying? You might have millions of views in your bedroom doing something, but until you get live in front of people breathing, we were just talking about this. You know, during practice, I said, it's interesting how, if everybody was here, this whole place would be packed. You ever notice that too? Like if everybody came at the same time, but even something, for example, the understanding of how the room changes because I said, you know, you ever notice when the room changes, when we practice, and then when people get in here, the sound completely changes. Why? Because all of your bodies absorb sound. So my hearing when I'm up there, it completely changes. What I'm saying is I have an understanding of how to do something, but until I'm in the moment, it changes everything. That's where wisdom kicks in, yeah. Right? Because the Pharisees were all good about saying things, but Jesus was the one that took the word and used wisdom with it and did something with it, right? Amen. Where he actually put it into practice and actually did things and was in the heat of the moment with those things. So there's a big difference there between understanding things. You know, we can search Google anything we want to, or DuckDuckGo or whatever. That doesn't mean we have an understanding on anything. It just, and you know what? Sometimes you can see things. I remember I used to teach guitar and have my students, and I watch some of these things online. I'm just using that for an example, but I'm thinking to myself, you know, people can look at all of this information and get so confused. Where do I even begin? I mean, how many people now are going online and getting information for, you know, all these Bible teachers and everything, especially after COVID? Now everybody's online and everybody's, you know, doing this stuff. And you look at some of these things and you're thinking, that's crazy. That's crazy talk. But again, it's having a revelation. So we can have, the Bible talks about too that we are heaping up teachers for our own lust. What does that mean? I just want information, but I won't do anything with it. I just want a bunch of knowledge. And what does the Bible talk about knowledge? Knowledge what? Puffeth up. And so you don't have any wisdom to do anything. I've been in, you know, academia and in colleges and stuff before and around professors. And, you know, we were at, Noah's Ark. Was it in Kentucky? Mm-hmm. And there's a place there. It's called the Creation Museum. Or what is it next to it? They have another place there. There's a Creation Museum, but there's another place there too where they have like some videos and things like that. And and it's interesting because when you watch, you see the word manifest in people. But these people are interviewing these, these professors that teach, you know, evolution and all this other stuff. Well, they're talking about what do you think of creationism and everything? And they're like, oh, that just gives me a headache. And they get irritated because they're challenging their knowledge. They're questioning things. Why? Because I have all this knowledge, and now I'm full of pride, like the Bible talks about. And that knowledge puffs up. You can see that, right? I've talked to some of these people before, and I dealt with them on occasions, and when you begin to chip away or ask questions, that's the way the Pharisees were. They were so hung up on their knowledge and understanding that Jesus said, okay, I'm going to take that knowledge. I'm going to actually do something with it. We're going to actually live this thing, right? And so that's what a lot of spiritual warfare is. Romans 1:24 says, and just hold on to your bridges here. I'm going to move through some scriptures. You can write them down, and you can, you know, if you want to read through them later. But Romans 1:24 says, wherefore God also gave them up for uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. James 1:14 says this, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his what own lusts and enticed. Can I just say something? When you're dealing with spiritual warfare or you're dealing with things in your life, there are things the devil knows are your hot buttons that won't be somebody else's hot buttons, right? Yeah. And those are some things you need to guard yourself on and take control over and be, for example, you need to be cognizant of it. For example, maybe let's say you were a kid and you had an experience with someone or something unfortunate happened, and then that triggers fear. How many ever watched the series out? We've been watching it, The Chosen. Maybe I was watching The Chosen. It's pretty cool, right? Well, there's a scene on there where if you know Mary in that's traveling with the disciples and everything, is a perfect example of that. Where I think I don't want to give it away, but in season two, she kind of backslides anyway. But what is it? She is letting her guard down because of those things that have come up in the past. She's letting those things creep back in and not guarding herself in. Mm-hmm. Then what happens is she's slipping back, and guess what? Jesus pulls her back. Jesus is so cool. He just comes back and he rescues her and he pulls her back into the fold. But the point is that something that triggered her in the past, she didn't guard herself, and what happened was she slid back into it, right? Because of some experiences that she had. So again, the devil is going to look for those things that are weaknesses, fears in your life, and he's going to play on them. What do you have to do? You have to stand up. You have to raise a standard against the enemy. So part of it is understanding your weaknesses, but then also, too, guarding yourself and say, hey, you know what? I've got the word. I'm not going to live in fear, because guess what? You can't have faith and fear at the same time. You're either going to have one or the other. It's just not going to happen. You know, you can be in complete fear and say, oh, I'm believing. No, you're just fooling yourself, and you need to get over into some things and meditate on the word. You ever notice sometimes you just overstuff the turkey, and guys, I overstuffed the turkey today. So I'm kind of thumbing through some things like, okay, we don't have time. And we'll pick it up. Well, next week is Easter, but we'll pick it up after that. Oh, by the way, while I'm thinking about it, we are going to have communion next week, so it's going to be awesome. I'm excited about that. So let's look at Mark. We'll end here. Mark chapter 5, verse 9 through 13. Definitely not where I wanted to go tonight. We're not there because we had other things going on, but that's okay. Mark chapter 5, verse 9. I'm going to read on New Living Translation. And we talked about this in the past, but this is good. And this is where this man was demon-possessed, and Jesus comes. And I love this because it says, Then Jesus demanded, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man. Then the evil spirits began begged him again and again not to send him into some distant place. Now, it's interesting here that, again, look at the dialogue of Jesus. Verse 11, it says, then it happened a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Now, I always thought about this. Okay, Jesus is in Israel, and there's a pig farmer. I mean, what is with that, right? I mean, I just don't understand it. Hello? This goes against all of the Levitical law. You don't eat pigs, okay, when you're a Jew. When you're Hebrew, it just doesn't happen. But for some reason, there's a hog farmer, which is really weird, right? And so I always thought that was a little bit odd. But anyway, send us into those pigs. And the spirits begged, let us enter them. And Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man, entered the pigs. And the entire herd, there's about 2,000 pigs, and they plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned to the water. Now, everybody always gets this, like, why did he say and why did he ask the... Now, one of my concepts on this was Jesus wanted us to know how many there were. And you read the other rendition, all he said was, go. See, Jesus has power over all kinds of spirits, doesn't he? And the number doesn't really matter, right? because Jesus didn't get on the bunch and go, oh my gosh, oh, this is like a legion. Oh boy. Okay, God, help me. Okay. All right. Okay. No, there was just go. There's no duking it out. There's no big spiritual warfare. Jesus said go, right? And Matthew 4, I'm not going to read this, but if you read Matthew chapter 4, this is where after Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist, he goes, it says the Holy Spirit drives him into the wilderness. Now there's another message in itself. But we see here that the devil came and tempted him. Now, let me just say this. If you're being tempted by the devil, it doesn't mean that you're bad and you're in sin, because the devil tempted Jesus and he's perfect, yeah. Right? So the temptation doesn't matter, but it's what you're going to do with the temptation, right? And what did Jesus say? He kept using the word, and he kept using the word. He didn't have some big, you know, conversation with the devil, and they didn't have tea and trumpets, and it wasn't this just gay occasion, and it was just this big party. No, Jesus always gets down to business, deals with the enemy, and moves on, right? There is no big fight. There's nothing going on. Jesus takes control because he has authority, and he moves on. He answers three times here, right? And what's he do? He uses scripture because in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why? Jesus is now delaying or relaying himself because Jesus is the Word. Mm-hmm. There's nothing apart from him. Like I said, I mean, everything is coming from heaven or hell, one of the two, right? The thoughts that we have, it's either heaven or hell. Now, you know, not everything is, you know, we're looking at cars or eating food, and not everything's demonic, what I'm saying. But I'm saying is the things that are really influential in our lives, they're going to come from somewhere. And that's where we've got to delineate from. And you know what? When the devil comes up, big deal. So what? Deal with it and move on. That's what Jesus' attitude was. We don't have to be in fear. We don't have to be upset. You know, we don't have to, you know, put a big, deal out of it. Jesus didn't go along and make a big deal out of it. The Apostle Paul, when he dealt with people, he just said, come out in the name of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. We have authority. And the problem is, like, there was one movie, and I already talked about this, it was like a movie preview for some satanic thing coming out or something, and I belly laughed so hard when I saw that. I thought, Hollywood wants to make the devil look so big, bad, and tough, and he is nothing like any of this stuff, right? Nothing. Because my Bible says greater than he that's in what? Me, than he that's in the world. I mean, this is ridiculous. Why am I giving, I don't sit around watching, you know, The Exorcist or any of those movies and laugh because I don't care to watch that stuff. But I saw that, and I just barely laughed because I thought, devil, you are such a scammer. The name of Jesus, we have authority over all this stuff. Father, we just thank you so much tonight, Lord, that our spiritual warfare, we walk with you. Amen. And we're also led by the Spirit. But Lord, we thank you that we can close those doors, we can walk with you. Father, we just glorify you tonight in the name of Jesus. We give you all glory and honor. Father, I pray tonight for everyone here that there is clarity of mind, articulation, speech, and boldness of spirit, Lord. I thank you tonight there is freedom like never before. I thank you. I pray and speak the peace of God that passes all understanding be upon everyone here. And also the joy of the Lord is our strength. Father, I pray for the joy tonight, Lord, that there is a joy and an understanding and a revelation that you're speaking to people tonight, that their eyes and our eyes are of our understanding be enlightened, that they would know the hope of your calling tonight, and that the love of God, which is shed abroad in our hearts, Lord God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We glorify you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.